Welcome to the midday. Getting prepared over there, Stephanie.
Good afternoon, Norman.
Good afternoon.
And we also welcome virtuoso trumpeter Ryan Anthony, who is probably best known for his contribution to the Canadian brass and currently has a career as a soloist and a chamber musician and an orchestral player. In fact, one of the quotes that I read about him just recently was, "There must be other trumpet players in this world as fine as Ryan Anthony, but you'd never think so while listening to him play." That was Fanfare Magazine.
Can't beat that for an accolade.
That's the pressure on, doesn't it?
Yeah, the pressure.
And he's here in Wisconsin. He'll be appearing with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra tonight and playing on 3 out of the 4 pieces that'll be performed tonight. Welcome, Ryan Anthony.
Thank you. My pleasure in being here.
Well, I don't know if you're most famous for playing with the Canadian Brass, but they certainly are a famous ensemble. You played with them for a while, and you had a rather spectacular, I guess, audition for them, or some way that you impressed them enough to snap you up.
Well, actually, it started, in high school. In San Diego County, there was a quintet that I played in. My older brother, he actually started. They were all in college, but I was still in high school. So I guess since he was my brother, I got to be able to be in the group. And then, but as we started going, we patterned ourselves after Canadian Brass, and we started working around San Diego County, and we even had Vans Tennis Shoes sponsor us so we can wear the tennis shoes and the tux, and we learned all their music and knew their videos. And so when they came in town, I'm not sure how it all happened, but for some reason we got to share the stage with them. And so the first thing we did 3 tunes. 2 of them happened to be solo features. Again, I think that helps having your brother run the group. And they remembered that, and then we did some things together since we knew all their rep and their material. And 15 years later, they knew where I was and remembered that and gave me a call. And I replaced Ronnie Rahm, which is one of those dreams that you say as a kid, but you never really think it can possibly happen.
Did you ever think, did you ever listen to him and think, I can take him?
No, and I still can't. But no, it was... yeah, and then the music world gets smaller every year. And so within we would sort of see each other at concerts, and I would always say hi. So we sort of kept a relationship, but you never really thought it was an actual option that they're going to give you a call someday to fill those shoes. So it was fantastic. I loved every minute on the road with them, and the years with them full time, and then several years with them, even afterwards playing with them either as a sub or extra or with other projects and recordings and things like that. So it's still a nice relationship to be able to sort of be involved in that Canadian brand. Family.
Was that pretty much the main thing on your plate during that time of the Canadian Brass?
That was it, yeah, because I mean you're on the road 250 plus days, so I mean that's all you do during that time. So yeah,
you talked about your childhood with your brother. Did you start as a trumpet player? Was that your first instrument?
No, I started off as violin. Both my parents were string players, and that was their dream to have a family string quartet. My older brother quickly said no to that and started playing French horn. And so they thought, well, maybe they'll have a family trio. And finally, my grandfather played cornet, and I would hear him play all the time. And I loved it. I was fascinated with it. And so when I got brave enough to tell my mom I want to play trumpet like grandpa and not play violin, and she cried all night when my dad went and got the trumpet out of the garage, gave me my first lesson. And I think the sounds I made out of the trumpet were quickly much better than anything I scratched on the violin. So she got over it.
Well, and the brass will overpower those strings any day. Yeah. So a family ensemble, a mixed ensemble, certainly wouldn't work.
Yeah, well, we try, but I think my brother and I take over.
Well, you know, one instrument that gives the trumpet a run for its money would be the organ. And
absolutely.
It's a pair that actually works very well in terms of the sort of the textural contrast there. And you have a CD out on, I was just looking to see which label that is.
Well, actually, it's now been, it's just sort of changing labels right now. So I think what you have right now is sort of a self-promoted someone that we have here in town that I'll have tomorrow night. But it's Gary Beard is the organist. We've been collaborating together since early 90s. He's in Memphis, Tennessee. And yeah, the organ is one of those with the trumpet. What I love about that instrument, as you'll hear tonight with the orchestra, I mean, it can be in a chamber setting. You can play it nice and delicately and be able to do that. But at the same time, as you hear in the big symphony orchestras, it has that that power, and the organ can get louder than trumpet and softer than the trumpet. So it really pushes the instrument to its max in every direction. And so we have a lot of fun with our concerts. And in fact, one of the concertos that we're going to be doing tonight with the orchestra, Albinoni Concerto St. Mark, we also do with the organ. And that's what I like about that instrument. It can transform as well to be different instrumentations.
Well, we'll hear some of that Concerto St. Mark a bit later, though maybe we could start with a famous voluntary, not the most famous voluntary, but one of very famous voluntary, which is by the English composer John Stanley. Well, everyone held up well. We somehow slipped into talking about weddings for some reason.
Yeah, imagine that.
Well, that was a piece that was played at my wedding, and let me tell you, it sure didn't sound like that. That was our guest, Ryan Anthony, trumpeter, and Gary Beard was the organist for that trumpet voluntary by Stanley. Very popular piece, and as you mentioned, you've done it many times in your career.
Yeah, you know, at first you do it for work and playing weddings all through school, and so it is kind of nice to do it now completely instead of being in the background. They actually look at you when you play. You know, for so long you play all these tunes at weddings and nobody even knows where you are or who you are. Could they care less? And now you get a chance to play it as actual concert music, so it's a lot of fun. And to do those voluntaries, it's just good music that I think everybody can enjoy.
Next time they ask you to do the wedding, you can say, well, just use the CD.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Here's the CD.
Well, what will you be performing tonight?
Well, I'm going to be doing two concertos tonight, the first one being the Albinoni Concerto St. Mark, which was originally a transcription. I believe it was originally an oboe transcription.
Yeah, it was an oboe sonata, but it takes some real detective work to track it down.
Yeah. You probably know more about it than I do.
That's all I know.
It's one of those that just through the years, I think, sort of it's been transformed, and now it's a really fantastic, a lot of fun concerto. Has its own, obviously, being originally an oboe work, it's got its challenges to play on piccolo trumpet, but it's got some beautiful slow movements, some real fast, fun moments with some fireworks in there, and to do it with the orchestra in its natural setting is what makes it so much fun to do, because you really get to hear how it should be played, although on trumpet now. And then the second concerto will be the Haydn Trumpet Concerto, which might be the most popular and famous concerto of them all. And what makes this one fun, this was the first concerto ever written for what's now the modern-day trumpet. And at the time, it was a key trumpet, but it was the first time we could play a scale and chromatic, so it was a revolution, you know, a new thing that happened at that time. And so it's fun to still play it with that same attitude.
It was a demonstration piece to a great
extent.
This is what
just,
the thing
just,
can do. Wow, listen to this.
So the first movement sort of put it through the paces. It shows what the instrument can do. And then the middle movement is just a beautiful, it's basically an aria that the trumpet gets to play. And so that was the first time that, you know, they had to look at a trumpet player as something beyond just in the back of the orchestra, but as a soloistic instrument. So it's a lot of fun, and I think it's another one that's just as much fun for the audience as it is for the performer and the musicians.
Well, let's hear some of the Albinoni, the first movement, which is maybe this a little unusual in that it is about as slow as it can be for a start, which is the grave. I think this might also be the most famous of the movements, though. Yeah. And so we'll hear that with our guest, Ryan Anthony, as the trumpeter. Well, that was your involuntary. That is the famous one, the even more famous one, I should say.
Jeremiah Clark, and that was Ryan Anthony, and Gary Beard is the organist.
With some variations thrown in. Those aren't in the usual performance, are they?
No, they're not. That was after you do it a few hundred times, you start thinking about what else can you do. Yeah, when we do it now for the concerts, that's actually how we open up the concerts. And it just adds a little more spark to it. And so it's a familiar tune, but done a little different way. And it's a good opener and a lot of fun for the audience.
All right. By contrast, then, here's the one that I actually promised. And this is that slow opening, the slow, stately opening to the Albinoni Concerto, St. Mark. Famous movements for, well, whether it's oboe or a trumpet, it's usually trumpet these days in the Concerto St. Mark.
By Tommaso Albinoni, that Baroque Venetian composer. And that'll be on the program tonight with the Wisconsin Chamber Orchestra and our guest, Ryan Anthony. You'll be playing a piccolo trumpet for that piece?
Yeah, I'll be doing the piccolo trumpet, which is basically half the size of the traditional trumpet that most people would think of or see playing in any various groups. And so it's pitched a little bit higher, which makes it a lot easier to play these transcriptions for oboe and flute and other various Baroque repertoire.
We were talking a little bit during the music about the hall. The last time you came to visit us in Wisconsin, you were outdoors for, 20,000 people on the lawn at the Capitol building, and this will be a little bit different.
This will be very different, and I got to tell you, every time I've been here now, these two times, it's been both to the extremes and an incredible situation on both ends. I mean, playing there in the Capitol steps, and it was a fantastic environment to be at, and but then this one as well, it's a very intimate, beautiful hall to play in. I mean, just even before you hear the music and how well the orchestra plays, just visually being able to be in that hall really sets the mood. And what I like about it as the performer, I enjoy the interaction with the audience. And this particular hall, it's having that feeling that when I'm on stage that I can see everybody and we're all sort of there enjoying the concert together, and instead of being at a far distance where I feel like I'm in one area and the audience is the other. I really feel like we're all just there and together. And the acoustics, or at least on stage, are terrific to play at. It makes it a very friendly place to play. And from what I can tell, it just would be a great place to be able to attend a concert. So I'm hoping it'll be a full house tonight so that we can all enjoy it together.
Well, on that note, let me mention that you can find information at WCOconcerts.org, and for tickets the number is 206-258-4141.
There are some great trumpet parts in Carmen.
There are. And we sort of didn't. But, you sit in the orchestra, you play the trumpet parts, and you get jealous of all the soloists. So that's one of the things that we enjoy now doing as well, is doing these transcriptions, because of the height, and that it did make the trumpet a soloistic instrument. Now all these, hundreds of years later, we've taken it even further to extreme and stolen all the arias and really taken the stuff. So that's one of the things I enjoy doing about, with the trumpet, is to be able to do the extremes, not only in different styles, but being able to push the limits, to play a vocal piece and then play an oboe transcription or anything like that, and to be able to do it then, like we just talked about, in such different variety of venues, from this wonderful Capitol Theater to that hall to, the outdoor steps there in the Capitol, and the trumpet really is able to be able to be played in all of those settings.
And heard.
And heard, for sure, yeah.
We love to hear it in those kind of settings. Yeah.
Well, here you are with that seguidilla from Carmen.
Thank you.
fun to listen to and sounds like fun to play.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely. I don't want to do anything that's not fun.
Well, you're in a position now. I guess you can afford to pick and choose that way.
Well, I definitely enjoy it, and that's one of the reasons that I really encourage everybody, you know, to be able to participate tonight. And I say it that way because I don't feel like it's just where I'm playing for someone to listen. We're really there to enjoy the whole evening, and I'm thrilled with the orchestra. Andrew Sewell's just doing a terrific work making music with the musicians up there, and everybody seems to be a very, you know, nice collaborative effect, and they're all working hard, and the payoff is that the audience gets to enjoy the music.
You know, we share a wonderful sense of community in Wisconsin in general, a great tradition of music in the schools and lots of support for arts groups. So we're very lucky.
I'm very impressed. And I had a wonderful master class at UW yesterday and be able to meet with the students there. And it's really a city that every time I come in, I'm more and more impressed with everything going on with the fine arts and the music and the events going on, and for all ages and all types, and even with the chamber orchestra too. I think so often you sort of might think of it as a stereotypical certain type of classical music, but the repertoire we're doing, everyone can enjoy. It's very approachable, and so it's a wonderful place to be right now here in this town.
The piece that we didn't mention was the Handel Concerto Grosso. Number 6, I think that's one that you'll be playing
on.
That one.
No.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm going to...
He's got to catch his breath sometime.
Yeah, I'm going to get a little break on that one, but I heard the rehearsal with it yesterday, and it's just terrific. It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's hard not to enjoy Handel. And
the trumpet shall sound. I mean,
he wrote some great stuff, and just did the fireworks, and the trumpet shall sound. I mean, there's a lot of great writing that he's done, but this is one in particular where I get to rest, which makes it fun, too.
And then there's some Shostakovich also on the program tonight.
Well, Ryan Anthony, thanks for being with us this hour. We look forward to tonight's performance.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to it, and I appreciate this opportunity.
Well, we're very grateful as well. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.